You have to be with people who heighten your faith and not those who call your faith down. Say, yes, sir. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 7, it says, go from the presence of the foolish man when thou perceivest not in his lips the fruit of knowledge. Alright, so, and I said that there's something as what little faith. We saw little in the scriptures when Jesus was mentioning of the word little faith in Matthew chapter 8, verse 26, and he began to say, he said unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? When he arose and rebuked the waves, the winds, and the seas, there was a great calm. In Matthew chapter 6 again, in verse 30, he said again, O ye of little faith. In chapter 8, verse 26, he said, O ye of little faith. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 31, he said, O ye of little faith. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 8, he said, O ye of little faith. In Luke chapter 12, verse 28, he said, O ye of little faith. Hallelujah. And I said to you now, the issue is not the little faith you have. The issue is that the man behind the faith you have. So even if you have the faith as a grain of a mustard seed, like you said, you can say to this mountain, be thou removed from here, and shall be cast into great yonder, and it will be done according to how you've said. So the issue is not the little faith you have. The issue is what you behind that faith. Are you still here? Said, are you still here? Glory to God. And I prayed for you last week. I'm still going to pray for you again that you encounter friends who shall uplift your faith in the name of Jesus. Bible says, iron sharpened iron. So does the man sharpen the countenance of his friend. Thus is also applicable in your faith works. If you have friends who believe so much in the ability of God to heal, the ability of God to provide, when you are in your downtime, they will speak faith into you. May such friends arise in unlikely situations in the name of Jesus. We'll say something that there's something like a provoked faith. Somebody can provoke faith in you. Are you still here? And I made a mention that sometimes you come to church, you don't feel like praying, but you enter the atmosphere. Everybody was on fire for God, like last week Sunday. You know, the first service was awesome. We rejoiced. Even if you came to church with some heavy heart, the atmosphere will not permit that. That's for you to understand that we can actually provoke faith. That means the church or the person sitting next to you provoke that certain faith in you. Glory to God. And by that also, I gave some specific instructions. I said to you, there are some certain things you have to do that shows that act of faith. And I said to you, when your friends buys a car, when you get to greet the person, it is forbidden you go there empty-handed. But you learn how to step into faith. You have to learn seed into faith. When you go to visit the person, what do? You buy car charger. You buy car wash materials. By so doing, you are actually what participating in that grace made available. Never will it be heard of you that you are envious of your neighbor because God is doing something new in his life. You should be happy because that means God is in the neighborhood. Hallelujah. That means after his own house, maybe yours is the next one. See, I'm next in line for God's miracles. Are you still here? I said, are you still here? And I said also that when you're believing God for some certain things, begin to make preparation for those things. You're trusting God for a car. Begin to buy some car things. You can buy the side mirror. Hallelujah. Of course, we buy in parts. Hallelujah. I'm joking. Glory to God. So when you're expecting a rain, what do? You buy an umbrella and be that with you. Be there with you. And one of the ways to exhibit faith is by the things you say. I taught you in the first series that I said to you, faith has a posture. It can easily be mistaken for pride. Just imagine you saying something, saying, you know, when I finish school, I want to have 5 people who are going to work under me. You know, that sounds like as if you're bragging. But that's the position of faith. That's a man talking from the praise of victory already. May that be your Lord in the name of Jesus. I say, may that be your Lord in the name of Jesus. And I taught you too that when you don't have enough, it's time for you to make room for more. Give out. Some of you have some clothes you don't wear again. You are like me. You just keep that clothes. It's not your size again. You have passed it, but you kept it in your house. You know, it's time for you to make room for more. Give them out. Give them out. Be like me. Whenever I have some money that is not enough to meet my need at the present time, I leave it out as a seed. And the great thing is that seed will always bring about a harvest. And so shall it be in the name of Jesus. Now, can I teach this morning? Are you going to respond to me very well? Hallelujah. 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 Now, just to make sure you understand what we've been teaching all the time. What's number one? How faith works? Number one? They're going back to the notes. Faith works by knowledge. And number two? Now, since I'm teaching you now, are going to live beyond you. So you have to put them in your heart. Don't just keep it in your note. That means that you didn't go by your notes for the week. I said, first of all, faith works by what? Who can give me a classic example of that? I thought that here. Mary and Martha, the friends of Jesus. They knew Jesus to be a healer, but not the one who could raise the dead. So when their brother Lazarus died, I want to say Judas, when their brother Lazarus died, all right, they were all full of regret, saying things like, "Oh Jesus, if you have been here, my brother would not have died." Am I communicating this morning? Because they've seen heal the sick, but never seen him raise the dead. So your limitation will be placed on what you know of God. The ability you know of God is going to be a limitation for you. That's why you must know God. Say, "Know God." And number two was what? Faith works by what? Association. Like just what I just explained to you. You can't be a man of faith and you are mingling with people who have no faith. Who have no faith. People who tell you things like, if you give this such amount of money to God, how will you survive for the year? How will you survive for the month? But we know it is never the money they send from us, from home, that sustains us. We don't know how we are surviving the survival we are surviving. But I think I know it's by the grace of God. May that grace be multiplied to you in the name of Jesus. So I begin to teach now. Number three. Faith works based on what? Based on trust. That's it. Faith works on trust. Based on trust. So how much you trust in God shows how much God's going to work on you. My communicating. And I taught you that last week. I went into parenting. You see, like I said, never you punish your kids by denying them their basic things like eating, like food, because they break a plate at home, because they broke your television, which they will do. Amen. No, they will not. You not say you're not going to eat tonight. So that is poverty mentality dealing with you. So don't ever punish them with that. You can actually, you know, like I said, give me an example. Give me an example of how to punish your kids. No playing of PS5 for 1 week. That's cool. You're grounded, baby. You're grounded. Go to your room. You're grounded. Now listen, that's some level of faith. If you say go to your room, that means he or she has his own room. Not our rooms. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I began to tell you that last week. Begin open your mind. Open your mind. Begin to think about it. No knocking my daughter's room to enter her room. How can you live in one bedroom apartment? Only you and your kids. 7 of them. But you like to be complete. You and your wife now make it 9. Almost a football team. When your in-law comes, it's a full team. Living in one bedroom apartment. You see, now I said to you last week that it's not as if the people who are living that kind of life now plan for such a life. Impact on their life. But their mind could not accommodate what they want. See, it is one thing to hate a thing. It's another thing to go towards what you want. Communicating. Am I communicating? You can say, baby, you're grounded. You're not going to go for vacation in the U.S. You're going to Dubai. So, you know, this being your kids. No bicycle for you. That you not eat dinner and sleep outside where you came from. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, number four. Are you ready? Are you ready? Oh, I came to preach this morning. I said, are you ready? All right, number four. Faith cannot walk on the premise of fear. I did that. Faith cannot walk on the premise of fear. Faith does not walk on the premise of fear. You see, the word cannot actually means cannot. Once fear steps in, faith gives out. These two ideologies cannot exist on one platform. Are you here? Are you here? Write down and look at me now. Faith cannot work on the what? On the premises of fear. One of the greatest weapons of the devil is to instill fear in the life of the believers. Once he captures your heart with fear, he has finished. Now, one thing I do say all the time is that the devil will not destroy you first. He distracts you first before he destroys you. So see a man who is already distracted, he's on the pathway to destruction. And I'll tell you, one of the ways for you to know that the devil is about to destroy you is when he begins to put some fears in your heart. Say, I reject fear in the name of Jesus. That's not even bold. God will say, I reject fear in the name of Jesus. See, the only similarity between fear and faith is their first letters. You see, just in typology, not to me, FF, designer. Now listen, faith and fear, I say it again, cannot coexist. If you're a man of fear, it means you do not have faith inside of you. Am I communicating? If fear is residing in your heart, about concerning any circumstance of your life, maybe in your academics, in your finances, in your relationship, in your health, once fear is there, faith is not there. There's nothing like 50% faith, 50% fear. Yeah, I'm trusting God, but I'm not too sure. No, you're not trusting God. You're actually fearful. Are you still here? In 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. And God, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. So in the place of fear is sound mind given to God. So God can never put the spirit of fear in a man. So that means that if it is not God who put the spirit of fear in you, that means who does? The devil. So anytime you entertain fear in your heart, you're actually giving the devil an opportunity to operate in your life. May fear not have hold in your life in the name of Jesus. The Greek word for fear is a word for diri, which means to shrink. So the devil wants to shrink you. Are you here? Want to shrink you? And that word for it is timidity. Want to make you to become timid. Want to shrink you? And once he shrinks you, that's half the quality of your life. Now, I heard the story, I know some of you have heard it before, about a king who has a very fine daughter, and I told to the villagers, you know, I'm going to give my daughter to whoever will sweep above, across this small pond full of crocodile. And all the men who gathered to, you know, to dare the king, they were there. So when they heard the condition, they were going back. All of a sudden, I mean, the crocodiles were actually very hungry. They were bringing out their mouths. Very hungry. All of a sudden, from nowhere, they heard a sound in the river. I mean, the pond. Bah! Somebody just bang, bah! And, so you go. And the king said, wow, I've never seen such a man of faith in my life. Because I've given my word, I will give you my daughter for a wife. When everybody was hearing the guy would say, even leave me, there, leave me. He said, who pushed me? So he didn't jump into the river himself. Somebody actually pushed him into the place. Maybe pushed into an act of faith in the name. Some of you never know what you can do. Some of you don't even have an idea of the kind of power you have inside of you just because you have not been pushed by faith. May you have free people around you who will push you to act of faith in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8 verse 15. I say, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. I pray for you now. May your faith increase now in the name of Jesus. Now hear me. If you have watched enough of Nollywood movies, especially the ones from the eastern side and the western side, now the way they portray witchcraft is going to be like the devil has two horns. It's always about coven. Right? Coven. You know, most of those kind of fancy things. But that's not actually how the devil operates. The devil operates, or witchcraft operates, by manipulations. Are you here? And how manipulation comes by words. Manipulation comes by words. Before the devil finishes you, you will instill some ideas in your heart. Believe that that is who you are. Am I communicating? I said again, witchcraft is not just by covens, it's not by fangs and horns. It is the spirit of manipulations. Your manipulation. And sometimes many of us are suffering from these things. We're being manipulated in our families, in our ministries, in all things that concern, in our academics, because the words has been instilled in our heart. You see, one of the purposes of witchcraft or satanic manipulation is to reduce you. Once it can reduce you from your sight, then it can finish you. Are you here? Are you here? I'm not preaching about witchcraft anyways. Are you here? Glory to God. Now, once that happened, things that were supposed to be subject to you, you become subject to those things. Once you've been reduced. This was what the Philistines used against the children of Israel. The people of Goliath. When he came before them, he began to speak words to them. He was speaking words to reduce them. They are tortured, the children of God. Just one person who is going to come here. Let me finish it. Let me show you that in the scripture. Hallelujah. In 1 Samuel chapter 17. Hallelujah. Are you here? 17 verse 3. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. Alright? In verse 4. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines, named what? Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a pan. Come on, that's some largeness. Alright? In verse 5, he said, and he had an helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. Hope you can see that. Alright? A coat of mail. Right? And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. Alright? And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of the brass between his shoulders. Verse 7, and the stars of his spear was like a weaver beam. And his spear head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one, I mean, no, this is not important anyways. Okay, in verse 8, and he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, why are you come out, set your battles in array? Am I not a Philistine? I cannot even speak good English. And ye servant of Saul, choose ye a man for ye, and let him come down to me. Alright? Now in verse 9 say, if he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servant, and if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and servants. In verse 10. And the Philistine said, I defy the army of Israel. Now the word defy there means I curse. Say, I curse the army of what? Israel this day. Come on, say, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that may fight, that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. You see, there's some certain premise of war you should not even entertain. Be careful of those people who say they are fat. You want to talk fat? Let's stay fat. You've been staying fat all your life. What has fat to do with your life now? Say it the way you see it. See, just say the way you see it. You've been saying the way you've seen it. That's why you're seeing the things you're seeing. This man, Goliath, used words to enslave a whole nation. He belittled them. He reduced them. Don't forget that these guys have been fighting war. Other nations were scared of them. Am I communicating? But when it came to Goliath, Goliath spoke what he caused them. And the result of the words they heard was what? They became dismayed. And they were charged with fear. Hear me? The same way faith comes by hearing, so does fear come by hearing. Write it down. The same way faith comes by hearing, also faith. I mean, fear comes by hearing. There's some certain fear you will not have if you don't know them. I want to beg you, for Christ's sake, never in your life Google a symptom you're feeling in your body before you have HIV by force. Say, help, I'm just helping now. Maybe not today. Hey, suspicious in your body. You now can Google. You now see, this is the first stage of HIV. V. And the devil now say, remember. Remember 2 days ago. Just remember what you remember, don't worry. And your heart begins to pump. Before you know it, your sugar levels are at one, and your blood pressure is going high. Your body now feels at night, you begin to shake. You say, you now go again. What causes shaking at night? Second stage of HIV. Hallelujah. But you wouldn't be on such a terrain, not knowing that what is doing because it's that money, simple and short. Your cream are finished, you didn't have money to buy it. Now you're rubbing oil on your body. Why would you have rashes? And now he's in bath soap to bath. After he said, say this multiple coat or denier. Say that's what you sell. Glory to God. The multi-purpose soap, white one. I can use to wash my shoe, wash my coat, and wash my body. I used to hear. There's some silent things. If nobody said it to you, it will not manifest in your life. Am I communicating? One day my daddy told me, hey, he was saying something, there's some certain things that happen in our family. I said, I don't want to know. I don't want to hear about it. Because if you don't know about it, he has no power over me. Am I communicating? And some of you have a knack to go and look for mysterious things. Only you want went to social media, I mean on Google, begin to type, how does people born in July behave? No, they are fools. Looking for a zodiac sign. What do you want to need it for? What do you need it for? Yeah, who will be my future wife? Or there. Ah, so my zodiac has to give you a wife. These are programs that have been built just to entertain you. And the danger in it is because you begin to pattern your life according to those things you have seen. And then a sister that said one day that, you know, I'm a Leo. That means lion. When I get angry, I slap people. Say, continue. You will slap a soldier one day. Then you change your bed date. You still here. I'm not arguing with science, but I so much believe that we must learn how to subject our spirit, our body to our spirit. Am I communicating? Glory to God. I say glory to God. Jezebel also spoke words that reduced Elijah, the prophet of the Almighty God. Now, it was so much a ridiculous time that Elijah had to go and hide for his dear life because a woman spoke. Needless to say that his ministry ended just because of that. Are you here? In 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1 to 4, the Bible says, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah has done, and with all how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. In verse 2, and Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of those of them by tomorrow about this time. The woman made it right. Elijah, the almighty prophet of God. Don't forget that. Just a chapter before, he had just what? By the power of whatever power he used, the prophets of Baal were all killed by his authority. Am I communicating? The next chapter now, in this particular verse now, just because the church was issued, he ran for his dear life. But not just that he ran. In verse 3. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servants there. In verse 4, he abandoned his followers. Okay? In verse 4. But he himself went a day journey, come on, into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a Jupiter tree, and requested for himself that he might die. A great prophet of God. Not because of what's spoken over him. He demanded that he might die. He said, it is enough now. Oh Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. That's a demonic statement. That wasn't Elijah speaking over himself. Because all I know, he's a man of faith. Glory to God. Now look up here. The reason why you must actually make sure you are actually exercising your faith all the days of your life is because that you have faith at this moment doesn't mean at this moment you're going to still have faith. The same Elijah who just what? Called down fire from wherever I called it from. Of a sudden now, could also use the same faith to conquer Jezebel. Am I communicating? Am I communicating? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Now hear me now, one of the major ways to deal with fear or witchcraft or whatsoever is confrontation. Confront it. Don't chicken out. Say it again, one of the ways to deal with fear is what? Confrontation. Confront it with everything inside of you. Confront it. How do you do that? You do that spiritually and also what? Physically. So when you have the fear of death inside of you, what do you do? Spiritually, you declare what? Oh, for you have given me my salvation. Now you owe me my long life. Hallelujah. The next thing you say is that now, next thing you're going to do physically, you begin to make projects. Begin to make plans for 50 years from now. And some of you don't have plans for 50 years time. Hallelujah. Begin to make plans. You have fear that, you know, probably I'm going to be buying, maybe because of mistakes of the past I've made, or somehow maybe in your family, people don't actually give birth. One short fear comes to your heart. What do you do? Begin to name your kids. You name your kids. And by the way, if you're under my administration now, till now, as a lady, as a guy, you don't have the names of your kids in your mouth. I mean, you're not following me very well. Have their names, write it down. Pray for them. If you don't know their names, how are you going to pray for them? Be specific. Hallelujah. You call them by name and speak God's word over them. So I don't give birth to kids who are going to disturb my life. I won't give birth to kids who are beginning to say, I didn't kill my parents, therefore you don't kill me. No, I won't say such things. My peace are in order in the name of Jesus. You see? So when the fears of barrenness comes in, what do? You speak God's words. For none shall be barren in the land. And after that, what do? You name your kids. Oh, I'm going to have a son called Joseph. I don't mean me. I have my kids on them already. Hallelujah. I'm going to have Tara and Zara. Glory to God. Tara and Zara, welcome. If you find him that will suit your son in, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Looking at me like this. Some of you are changing your name because the name your father gave you is not a sweet name. Now please make sure you give your kids a name they will love. Hallelujah. And then give somebody Obadiah. Glory to God. Glory to God. I told you some time ago there's something called good looking people's privileges, right? There's something also called good names privileges. There's some names you get, it opens door. Don't worry. It's just a waiver. Hallelujah. Are you still here? Are you still here? Elijah confronted Jezebel, but not physically. He spoke words that foretell and engineered the end of Jezebel's satanic operations. And that actually came to pass. Those words were executed by Jehu, who confronted her physically and had her thrown down to the fulfillment of the prophecy of God's servant. In 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 33 to 37. That's actually, by the way. Now, David confronted Goliath. But I say this to you. Hear me. One of the engineering factors that enabled David to confront Goliath was, number one, he wasn't there. He wasn't defied by the words of Goliath. Are you here? He wasn't there when he spoke those words. So he was oblivious of it. So he didn't have effect on him. Glory to God. But regardless, now hear this. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 32. Alright? Verse 32. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. That servant will go and fight with the Philistine. Then let no man's heart fail because that servant will go and fight with him. Now listen. David charged at Goliath with the superior God's word. So when you hear negative words concerning your life, what do? You charge against that thing what with superior God's word. And that is only come with those words are supposed to be vetted and released by the anointing of the Holy Ghost. You don't just say, just I reject it in the name of Jesus. Like I taught you last week, I reject it in the name of Jesus is an announcement of an intention, not intention itself. It's not anyway, but anyways, but you don't just say, I reject it in the name of Jesus. How are you rejecting it? You speak God's word concerning the situation, not. You see here. Glory to God. I say, glory to God. In verse 45, 17:45, okay. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of the host, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Now I love what David does here. David shifted the battleground. David went away from him fighting the Israelites. Say now you are fighting God. See, let me say this to you. Learn how to present your problem to your God. Stop fighting the battle. Say, hold your peace. Let me fight for you. So David understood that by his own tenetics, he cannot be able to defeat the Philistine in the name of Goliath. He said, you have defied not us, but have defied the armies of God. Therefore, God will fight you. Am I teaching good this morning? Glory to God. In verse 46, this day will the Lord deliver thee into my hands. And I will smite thee and take thy head from thee. And I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Everyone is teaching this morning. Verse 47, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not by sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. So when you're faced with challenges of fear, maybe fear is coming to your heart, understand that. Now, why you allow fear to come to your heart is because you think the fight is between you and that particular circumstance. Did you get what I just said now? God doesn't have fear in him. So present God in the front, just be at the back. Let him who knows how to fight, fight the fight. Hallelujah. In verse 48, and it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hastened and ran towards the army to meet the Philistines. And David put his hand in his bag and took therein a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. And hear me. So that's how somebody want to fight, begin, you feel insulted. Goliath was actually asking David, your own giant, get your best of the man. And all of a sudden, one small teenager came forward. And Goliath felt insulted. This boy is too small for me to keep. But hear what? David felt that Goliath was so big for him to miss. Did you get that? So the issue is not the circumstance. The issue is how you see the circumstance. Why the people were seeing God, all the children of Israel were seeing God to be so big that he would kill them. A safe one man, the man saw them, by the name David, said, this man is too big. I can't miss him. Anywhere I swung my stone to hit him. May you see advantage in your adversaries in the name of Jesus. Are you still here? Are you still here? What verse are we? 49. Okay. Verse 50 now. So David prevailed over the Philistines with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistines and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. So he didn't actually fight with the things that were expected. Now the issue with you is that some of you, you're already thinking of how to fight the fight when the fight should be of God's fight. Some of you, hope you have finances in your, situations in your finances, already making projects in your mind. Probably my boyfriend will come through for me. Probably my sister. Probably when they pay my father. You are making projections. Why don't you allow God to sort it out? Him who makes way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert is still operational in our lives today. May someone receive this kind of grace in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, the Bible says, for the weapon of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. In verse 5, it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now hear me. One of the things the devil does to your heart is often to make, is to cast the imagination of your issues to be bigger than the ability of God. Read of God. Now, I've given this illustration so many times in this church. For the people who are used to working with the microscope, the object you put under the microscope is not what changes in size. Am I communicating? The object is the same. What changes in size is how you see it. How you see it. That what makes the size to be bigger. As you begin to move the convex or whatever they call it, as you begin to the microscope, as you begin to move it, you magnify it, as you begin to change it, you are magnifying it. The object under the view is not changing either. What changes is what? How you begin to see it. I begin to see it. So now, learn how to see your circumstance. See it from the eyes of God. See it as available little that God can be able to overcome it. In the name of Jesus. I say in the name of Jesus. Now, let me say this to you. You know, by what I've taught before, David was walking by past antecedents. He had a faith in God. The God who delivered him from the hands of the wild beast. When they came to pick his father's sheep, he ran after it and caught a bear and took the sheep out of the mouth. So I know that God has come through for me before. He's going to come through for me this time again. South Africana, I was telling you, guys, has God ever come through for you before? And everybody said, yeah. I want to ask, has God ever come through for you before? Now listen, he's always coming through. That's his business. You can never leave you stranded. I may book to say you are too connected to be stranded. You can't be stranded in life in the name of Jesus. If he did it before, he's doing it again. I say he's doing it again. I say he's doing it again. May your life be the next place for a testimony in the name of Jesus. Say it again. May people remember you. I remember a testimony in the name of Jesus. And when I mean testimony, I don't mean near-death experiences. I don't mean you were driving one day and accident happened. You lost your car, but you didn't lose your life. And that is still a waste. I mean a testimony that will come and you know that it's God. May that locate you in the name of Jesus. Number 5. I want to teach fast. Am I going fast? Hallelujah. Number 5. Let's go again. What's number 1? Faith works by works. Knowledge. Number 2. Association. Number 3. By trust. Number 4. Faith cannot work on the premise of fear. Okay. Number 5. Faith requires actions. I did that. The thing is what? How faith works. Faith requires action. Thank you, Jesus. Everything becomes possible when you hold my hands, Jesus. Then everything becomes possible when you hold my hands. Then everything becomes possible when you hold my hands. Faith works by action. See, one of the mistakes I've seen in my generation that we mistake what grace actually means. We think that grace means that we're going to become lazy. We think that, if someone has grace, grace is working in your life. You begin to think that that means that you're going to fold your hands and do nothing. In the atmosphere of faith, works is applicable. My teaching this morning, works is applicable. But the good thing is that God holds our hand when we're walking. And that's why the impossible becomes possible. Say, yes, sir. So learn how to what? Act. You see, one of the reasons why folks don't give, whenever we say, maybe we're talking about giving in faith, is because they are used to getting everything in God for free. Salvation came by doing nothing. But I will say this to you, the act of faith costs you a thing. It must learn how to do things to generate faith. For faith to work, there must be a corresponding action to it. Am I communicating? In fact, I feel so awkward when people say things like, you know, I went for that interview, there were five first-class graduate, me that came with a pass. Somehow, I don't know, grace worked for me and I came first. It happens. Protocols can be broken. But don't live your life just based on that. Men have wasted in place of waiting. What happens when you actually have what it requires? I've seen the track of God. He always wanted to put some things on the table. God always wants you to act before he reacts. My communicating. And that makes him a good father. I'm not just going to do it for you. I'll teach you how it's done. Go with the God. This is how he's done. So grace is not a ticket to laziness. The idea of rest is not a state of inactivity. When you hear, I'm resting on God, it is not a state of inactivity. It means it's a state of total dependence on God. In other words, my fuel is God. My energy is of God. I get my activity pumped up from God. I'm not depending on myself or my finances or whatsoever anybody have told me. My dependence is on God. That's what it means to be what? Resting upon God. May you rest upon God in the name of Jesus. Are you still here? A classic example was Abraham when God asked him to sacrifice Isaac. Now hear me, God knew that he doesn't want Isaac. God doesn't eat human sacrifices. But he wanted him to act out some faith in here. Wanted him to act out faith. In fact, that faith was not just exhibited by Abraham himself, the faith was also exhibited by Isaac himself too. Remember when they got to the down part of mountain Moriah, they're about to climb the mountain. His servant asked him, Master, they are going up to offer a sacrifice. Where is the lamb? And Abraham said, no, don't worry. We will go. We will offer sacrifices and we return. That's a serious one. And he knew that the person they wish for sacrifice is who? Isaac. And he said, we go up and offer sacrifices, and we. Who is we? Him and Isaac. So Abraham knew something we did not know. For you to understand, when he said Abraham believed God, it was not just by faith of believing that we have child. There's something he believed in. He believed in God. He believed in the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Am I communicating now? So next time when you hear that Abraham believed God, he was counting for him for righteousness, it is not the faith that he will have a baby. It was the faith. It was the faith of hypostasis. No, I'm not going there. Sophia confused now. That's the kind of faith. Pistis and what? Hypostasis. The hypostasis is the belief in faith. Why the pistis is what? The receiving faith. Glory to God. The faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So Abraham had a faith in God that even if he offers Isaac his son, God will resurrect him. How do we know? I'm a bro, Isaac. What's in your mind? Your father Isaac even asked the same question. Say, Father, we have the knife, we have the oil, we have the wood for the sacrifice. Oh, bro, man, where is the lamb? Yeah, I hope I'm not thinking what you're thinking. And the father says, just calm down. God will provide. God will provide. Oh, right. Okay, sir. God will provide. All of a sudden, you asked me to bring my hands out. My boy said, put it at your back. I went, say, Father, Daddy, what are you doing? I said, God will provide. Oh, sir, are you home? I'm wondering what's going on in his mind then. He said, Abraham, I know this man didn't like me. The way he used to shout on me all the time. But Isaac himself submitted on that. Isaac was not submitting unto his father Abraham. He submitted unto God. He had a faith that even if my father kill me, I will resurrect. That is him. Hope you know they poured some oil on him already. The last stage of it was just him. And guess what? Abraham was ready to do it. He was not playing his script out. Am I communicating? He wasn't playing his script out. He was ready. He was absolute about it. He took it. And the Bible said his hand just stuck up. And God said, look by this side. The angel of God appeared and said, look by this side. There is a what? A lamb that is locked up in tongues there. That's what you do for sacrifice. Well, the story is, both Isaac and Abraham believed so much in the same. Now, God knew this was what I'm going to do. I will present the lamb for sacrifice, but I want to see you act. I want to see you go through the journey to the Mount Moriah. I want to see you climb that mountain. I want to see you act. Then I will react. And some of you are sitting down so much, bro. You're asking God for finances, asking God for some certain things. You are still inside. Go outside. What God have for you is outside. Go outside. In the name of Jesus. That is the spiritual one. Take it to. Are you still here? Are you still here? Take this from me. God will not react except you act. May you receive the grace to act in the name of Jesus. That amen needs some help. I say, may you receive the grace to act in the name of Jesus. Now, some of you, you know very much well. Can I put that thing on strings now? Now, some of you now, you know so much well that there's a grace of God upon your life. For some certain things, you are very sure of it. There's a certain grace upon your life. Just like Esther knew there was a grace upon her life. But I tell you this, Esther would not have delivered the nation of Israel if she had not actually stood and go to meet the king. And with that strong faith that says that, if I perish, I perish. The grace might be there wasting. And some of you know you have a very strong grace. People have told you that God wants to use you, but nothing will never happen except you step out from your comfort zone and confront those your fears. Faith works by action. Faith works by action. Ask you that now in the book of Esther, chapter 4, verse 16, and the Bible says, go, gather together all the Jews that they are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. If I perish, I perish. You should learn how to burn your bridges. You have to burn your bridges. If I perish, I perish. Guess what? Nobody ever casts dice before God that loses. I've never seen. I will never see my generation. Nobody ever casts dice before God that loses. So what I'm trying to say to you now is to learn how to be absolute in your approach to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. And God said to Joshua, I know you have the grace to deliver my people. I know you have the grace, man. I know you can also fight. You cannot fight. You're not that too strong again to fight. But now, I need you to participate in what I'm about to do. You see, most of the time, God needs you to participate in his actions. Say, Joshua, I want you to participate in this. Let me participate your effort in this. Now, arise. Call the prophet. Let him sing around the walls of Jericho. Let that be your participation. Now, sometimes when you come to church to draw some money, that is just a participation. God doesn't eat money. But let me see the efforts you're making towards those things. That's how a good father does. Are you catching these things this morning? See, I will give a victory, but you will have to participate. It will not be without an effort from you. And some of you have depended so much on the grace of God and you have the wrong perspective of what it means to have the grace of God. I'm a man who so much graced. Oh, I have grace, I know it. But men, I don't sleep on those graces. I don't sleep on those graces. People say, ministry is working for me. Man, sometimes I feel like it's not even working according to the grace. I mean, the input you put into it. Don't sleep just because you say you have grace. Get to work. For faith without work is dead. This is where he applies. Faith without work is dead. Are you still here? Are you still here? So God will say to Joshua, I know you don't have power to fight anymore, but there must be a token of contribution from you. And he said unto him, Joshua chapter 6 from verse 1, now Jericho was straight, shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came out. In verse 2, and the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thy hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. Now here, you do see that? You do see that? Pray together, everybody. Want to go? And the Lord said, I didn't hear you. Want to go? Echo it. To Joshua. See, I have given into thy hand Jericho. Did you hear that? See, I have given into your hand Jericho. That means that thing you're fighting for, I've given it to you. But for us to bring it into material, into the physical, I need you to participate in this. That thing you're praying for, you're doing delaying it now. Because I've given it to you, but I need you to participate. You know what I discovered? That sometimes most of believers pray for something, but they're not patient enough to wait to hear God give them an answer to that thing. The answers of God come with instructions. I've heard you, son. Alright, I've heard you. Now this is what you must do. Well, we prepare our hearts to God, but never wait to receive the response that comes with it. May you receive the grace to wait to receive answers from God in the name of Jesus. And he said, verse 3, everybody want to go? And you shall compass the city, and ye men of war, and go around the city once. Thou shalt do these 6 days. In verse 4, everybody want to go? Verse 4, the 7 priests shall be before the eye of Trump. And the 7th day, you shall compass the city 7 times. And now here what he said, now every day you shall what? Go around the city. Then on the 7th day, you will go around the city 7 times. That means all the effort you've put all the days, when your victory is close, what do? You double your husband. And by the way, that was not a stress-free thing to do. To go around a city. It's like going around the whole of Oyekiti. Now, what we explain that to you? You know, I heard a preacher preach this and say that the whole of Jericho was like the whole of Lagos. No, I didn't find that best that day. I began to do some research on it. No, it wasn't as big as Lagos. Not even as big as a local government. No, in the Old Testament, their cities were compact. Am I communicating? When you watch those epic movies, you see that they fence the whole city. Can you fence a city? You can fence the whole city. Right. That means that their own city is like a communal living. Am I communicating? Right. Or we can say the whole of a city, okay? defense. So they had to go around the city every day. Then on the seventh day, which was the day of manifestation, the Bible said God instructed them to go around it 7 good times. And I learned, when your victory is close, you intensify your prayers. Glory to God. What verse are we? Verse 5. Alright? And he says, and it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the lamb's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, and all the people to shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. And it says, and Joshua the son of Nun called the priest and said to them, take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets and ram's horn before the ark of the Lord. And verse 7, and he said unto the people, pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. Verse 8, and it came to pass when Joshua had spoken unto the people, and the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horn passed on before the Lord and blew with the trumpet, and the ark of the Lord followed them. In verse 9, and the armed men went before the priest that blew with the trumpet, and rewarded came after the ark, and the priest going on and blowing the trumpet. In verse 10, everybody, and Joshua, verse 10, everybody, and Joshua has commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of the mouth, until the day I will bid you shout. Then shall you shout. Oh, verse 11. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. In verse 12, and Joshua rose early in the morning and with the priest and took up the ark of the Lord. Verse 13, and the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horn before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpet, and the armed men went before them. But the reward came after the ark of the Lord, and the priest going on and blowing, I'm blowing the trumpet. Verse 14, and the second day they compassed the city once and returned in the camp. So they did 6 days. Verse 15, and when he came on the seventh day, that day rose early above the drawing of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only that on that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass when the priest blew with the trumpet, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. And what happened next? The wall of Jericho fell down flat. Now this, if you understand the story, there's no how a shout, you know, doing the love till going on. No, Charlie Charlie. I mean with Charlie Charlie. Charlie Charlie. What happened? What happened there? Depends who, is it depends on what? Depends who it is, okay? You shout, yeah. That's just some funny experience, okay. That just sound anyways. But there's no how a sound can put down a building. Let alone a wall. See. If you study the Old Testament, you know that cities are jealous of their cities. They protect their camp against the enemies. So the wall of Jericho is not this nonsense we're building here. It was casted. Am I communicating? It can withstand any kind of force of armies. Yet, sound brought it down. Listen, it is not the physical sound that brought it down. Don't forget what God said before. I say I've given you the city already. I just need you to participate. I want you to be on the same frequency with me. Oh, come on now. I need you to be on the same frequency with me. So at that time, when you shout, your faith has come to that place where it can carry this victory. You don't know who this world is for. But right now, you're looking at your mountain of Jericho. The wall of Jericho in front of you. Looking at it every morning, it's staring at you. Look as if it cannot be moved. You all say at the right time, shout. That shout, you speak that. You speak to it now. I'm not going to be dramatic now. Ask us to begin to walk around our issues. Okay? No, no, no. Some of you, your issue is your HOD. You can't go and walk around the HOD 7 times. In the morning, you go. You say, HOD, come. He comes. You can only succeed in one day. Second day, you will meet us at the CSO office. Hallelujah. But you know, you can actually shout. You can walk around in the spirit. You're aware of that? You can walk around in different circumstances in the spirit. You know, you can actually make 7 days to become one day. In the spirit, yeah. We walk the force, but we talk in tongues. But you, this circumstance. Hey, pala, teach. Le pala, mana, koto, so, bladi. A king, salalala. Men, lindos. See, there's a, oh, come on. There's a chemistry of tongues. That something tongues does to you. It should become what you know you are not. Be careful who you talk to, first of all, after talking for a long hour. You might talk down on the person. It's a chemistry. It changes your whole system. It makes you larger than what you are. Are you still here? The one who went in my mind. You know, there was this song. I know. When Joshua and the people were walking around the whole of Wall of Jericho, they were singing, He has given us victory. They say, I will lift him higher. They were marching and they were singing. He has given us victory. With some sense of understanding. Songs. I just begin to sing it. When I just finish praying, you'll give me something. Listen, when you pray, ask God for songs. And those songs will always come to be like a cementing of body. It comes as an assurance that I've heard it. So when they were walking around it, they were not mourning. They were not murmuring. They were not complaining anymore. They were walking like victors. Because why? From the point of victory already. He said he has given up this city. We're just participating in this whole thing. May you participate in what God is doing in your life now in the name of Jesus. Don't forget, on the first day, it will look like normal thing. Second day, normal. Up to the sixth day, normal. Then on the seventh day, with instruction, as they obeyed, the Bible records that the wall of Jericho fell down. The same went with Naaman. The Naaman had some leprosy in his body. He ought to meet Prophet Elijah. Elijah told him, go and dip yourself in the river. And Naaman was insulted. You know, the man of timber caliber. He said, I'm hiring them to come bathe in the river. Naked for that matter. And what are you saying? The river of Abana Faba is even better than the river you asked me to come bathe in. Why are you saying? Listen, God. Listen to me now. Miracles most times comes with instructions. And most of times it overrides your human thinking. How is it to come and give money when you need money? It overrides your human thinking. If you ever engage in analysis, that's what I call it. If you ever analyze God, you will be one mad. The cinematic man was actually in debt. Elijah said, go and borrow. You see, I mean, if I go to grow, they will not give me. Go. But the first miracle happened because she had been growing things before. That's why she's in debt. Now she can't grow again. The people see give her. Is that bad? Are you here now? Are you here now? When he dipped himself, after everything, he went home. I knew Elijah told him, what? You better do what the prophet says. And I had to go. He went and looked at him. When he dipped, he said the first one came out. Nothing happened. Second one again came out. Nothing happened. Third, fourth, fifth. You know, at that point, have you ever, let me ask this question. Not of you. Have you ever gotten to the point where you are believing for the right thing, but you are frustrated? You don't want that right thing to happen again so that you see who to blame. And say, God, see yourself. See, I should pray. I've prayed and nothing happened. So at that point, Naaman's heart was like, I'll go face that useless Elisha. Maybe come and dip myself in this dirty river. But when he dipped the last one, as he was coming out, the Bible records that his skin became like that of a newborn baby. You hear me? At the first dip, something happened. Second dip, something happened. So while we're waiting to receive an instantaneous miracle, God is busy arranging for you to get a new skin. What he wanted was just for the spots to go. But God was arranging something that's going to give him a new skin. My communicator. But the good thing is that he had to act. May you not sit down on your miracles in the name of Jesus. I say it again. May you not sit down on your miracles in the name of Jesus. The grace of God will not be wasted upon your life in the name of Jesus. Can you bow your feet right now? And everything becomes possible when you hold my hand. And everything becomes possible when you hold my hand. Everything becomes possible when you hold my hand. See, everything becomes possible when you hold my hand. Everything becomes possible when you hold my hand. Hallelujah. 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 I want you to participate in what God is about to do in your life now. That will be by your response. Is that fine? And forget about what you came to church, what the issue has been. What the issue has been, say to us, everything becomes possible.
So,
when he holds our hands, and guess what? He's holding your hands now. Lift your hands to heaven. Forget, came to church with you.
Everything becomes possible when you hold my hand. Everything becomes possible when you hold my hand. Yes, everything becomes possible when you hold my hand. Everything becomes possible when you hold my hand.
Listen to me. This kingdom will not become advantaged by default. We gain advantage by our work with God. What a way to build your faith is by praying the Holy Ghost. So we're going to pray the Holy Ghost now for just 2 minutes. But let it be charged up. Am I communicating? Let this be your participatory effort in what God is doing in your life right now. Lift your hands. Sing as no shout. Let them talk it out. You go ahead and talk to us now. See, hand up. I can hear you. Pray for the presence of boldness. Everything becomes possible when you hold my hand. Everything becomes possible when you hold my hand. Everything becomes possible.
When you hold
it, you can pray some more, pray some more. Pray some more, pray some more. Pray some more. Don't be gentle about this way, plan. Pray some more.
Everything.
Pray some, this is the first I got. This is the first I got. Every now and then, seems as if it's not moving. Put the Chinese here. Move right now. For you. Those things standing as Jericho walls in your life, in your family, in your academics, in your finances, in the name of Jesus, for the blood, in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
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 I've been struggling with this for a while. If I go further,
So, in a trance yesterday, and I'm saying this because I don't want to be casual anymore. So, a couple of days ago, one of my sons lost a sister, a dear sister, very dear to me too. I felt so pain because I actually got a prompting, but I did nothing about it. Not that I did nothing about it. But that morning I woke up with a strong desire to pray for all my church members, and I actually did. But I got an instruction to, in the church group, no tears. I had the instruction very strongly, no tears. That was the point where someone called me and engaged me in a very long conversation. And afterwards, I forgot about it. So about 2 hours later, then I got the call that actually made me sad for a couple of days, that he lost his dear sister. And I knew that there's no words like no tears. Now, if you have speaking that in the church group, and I know you connect by faith, that death can actually be averted by communicating now.
Yes,
so last night I got a prompting. Very prompting. I'm not going to ask for who, because I know. I know. Someone in the house has been living with a terminal illness of HIV. Yes, in the house. This has become a reproach to you. That prompts your fear of death. Now, I got so strongly last night. I'm never going to call you out. When we call you out, you're going to do me a favor, perform this to me by a DM. DM. Your face, I know already. Right? I'm going to pray for you just right now. And that shameful disease will drop by the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Amen. I say, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Able to shout in tongues to this prayer. It doesn't matter what. Also be standing in the gap with anybody having a terminal illness in their feet. By the power of the Holy Ghost this morning, they will drop like just like the walls of Jericho.
I pray for you.
I see it.
You're that single individual. Of his truth, the doctor will have a God who can actually overturn things. Not upon my life. And I decree to you, that sequence is changed now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
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 Amen. God showed it to me. I'm about. He has done it. But give it us. Take your time out. Go check yourself one more time. Yeah, they not born the devil well. It's not possible. Hallelujah.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Now I stand on that same anointing. And I pray for anyone here who have a sickness you've been managing in your body. You've been entertaining that sickness. I curse that sickness for your sake in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Family, any sickness that has been for a long time. So I've been attached itself to your family lineage. I pray for you now at the power of the one and the begotten Son of God, at the mention of his name, no sickness comes from that lineage now, in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
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 In the name of Jesus.
For some who this exam, you can't even understand it. Oh, Pastor prayed for you last week. You had so much faith. But what you saw in your faith examination, looks as if it was an alien paper. And listen to me. What it seems like is not what it's going to be like. Can I say it again? What it seems like will not be what it will be like.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Just the same way. Just the man laid inside the water. And he came out not happy. So the sixth time nothing happened. At the seventh hour, may that miracle rush you now. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In the name
Amen.
Of Jesus. Amen.
This month God said to us, this is a month of speed. Listen,
yes,
you will see speed in all aspects of your life.
Amen.
I said speed in all aspects of your life.
Amen.
I said speed in all aspects of your life.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
I gave instruction last week, right?
Yes, sir.
Are you ready for it?
Yes, sir.
This is not good. This is not good. Move it up.
Everything becomes possible when you hold.